And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here with you. A lot of Pirates talk, and very excited to go out to the Fan Hotline where we find ESPN's Jeff Passan. Thank you so much for doing this, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you?
Doing excellent, man. Doing excellent. I am surprised to be talking to you about the Pirates. Are you ever surprised with how much you get asked to talk about the Pirates? They're not exactly in a shape of winning right now, but they've created some storylines.
Yeah, I mean, the organization's great at screwing things up. Whether it's Roberto Clemente's number, the Bucko Bricks, we can go on and on, you know, players trying to take a swipe at fans. The news is not often great on this organization. But I think a lot of it, frankly, comes from the fact that Pat McAfee is from Pittsburgh and is very interested in Pirates. And every time I go on his show, he wants to talk about the Pirates and Bob Nutting selling.
Do you think that's a possibility, Jeff? I'll just cut right to it. Do you think that's ever going to happen?
Ever going to happen? Well, sure. Like at some point in the near future, there has been nothing that's crossed my radar that would suggest that Bob Nutting is selling the Pirates. But look, we've seen a number of either teams that are up for sale or have been sold. I didn't think Jerry Reinsdorf was going to sell, and you know he's not going to be owning the White Sox by the mid 2030s at latest. I didn't foresee the Pollad family selling the Minnesota Twins. They're in the process of trying to do that right now. You know, the Nationals have been on the sales block. The Los Angeles Angels have been there. So to suggest that there is no possibility for a sale with Bob Nutting, I think would be false. But there's no indication at this point that is in the offing.
Fan Evening Show, we're chatting with Jeff Passan from ESPN. And Jeff, when you look at the Pirates right now, you know, outside of ownership, I'm talking more on the field or competitively, that sort of thing. I mean, what do you see? I see a team that dismissed its manager. I'm not totally understanding what they're doing with Ben Cherington, but as somebody who, you know, does not live in Pittsburgh, you're looking at it from afar. What do you see?
I see a team whose leader in slugging percentage right now is a 38-year-old designated hitter. And that is not the sort of plan that you have to go and win baseball games and make postseason appearances and all the sorts of things that Pirates fans desperately want from this team. I see a team that is very good at developing pitching, and we've seen that with Paul Skenes. We've seen that with Mitch Keller. We're going to see that, I think, with Bubba Chandler sooner than later. And I think it gives the Pirates some hope, right? That if you have a pitching program in place that can crank out good pitchers from your system on the regular, then you have a chance to be a pretty successful big league baseball team. But they need to change their offensive approach, because what they're doing right now, it simply is not working, Jason. And it hasn't been working for a while. And look, Andrew McCutchen is an all-time Pittsburgh Pirates great. But Andrew McCutchen at this point in his career should not be one of the leading offensive forces on this team. And you know, we see flashes from O'Neill Cruz, and then we see him, you know, run by baseballs and just stop. And we've seen Brian Reynolds be a productive big leaguer. That's not what they're getting this year. You know, I think Pittsburgh fans hoped Key Brian Hayes would be a foundational player, and the Pirates paid him as much. And he's, you know, I'm not going to say that he can't be that, but what I will say is, you know, he's in his late 20s now and still just a defense first player. So all these things that if a couple of them worked out right, it would be completely different. They have not worked out.
Jeff, when you talk to people around baseball, what is their understanding or expectation with Ben Cherington? Do they expect him to remain as general manager of the Pirates, or do they expect him to be gone after the season?
I got to be honest, I have not had that conversation with anybody yet. So I do not know the answer to that. I think if we're just looking at this holistically, when you lose for a lot of years and, you know, a lot of the same problems crop up that have in the past, you know, keeping your job is a difficult thing to do. So It would not surprise me if Ben Cherington were replaced, but I haven't heard anything to this point that suggests that's any sort of an inevitability now.
What do you expect out of them around the trade deadline? We've been hearing here about Mitch Keller, David Bednar possibly being, you know, at least they're garnering interest, that sort of thing. Andrew Heaney would seem to be somebody, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, maybe even Caleb Ferguson. Yeah. I don't know. What names are you hearing attached to them?
All of those, really, like everybody but Paul Skeens.
Okay.
I think the Pirates are not in a position right now, Jason, to sit there and say, you know, we have untouchables aside from the guy who's arguably the best pitcher in baseball. So I could see them doing anything and everything, but the focus clearly has got to be offense. The Pirates just need to change things up when it comes to their offensive game, and they need to find guys. They need to coach them differently. They need to improve their process and make it a lot more similar to what they've done with pitching. How do they do that? I'm not familiar enough with some of the things that they are teaching right now to sit here and make suggestions, but there's obviously a process in place that they found with pitching that works. They just haven't been able to figure out how to replicate it on the hitting side yet.
Fan Evening Show, chatting with Jeff Passan from ESPN. Jeff, speaking of Skeens, you had, I think you were on McAfee for the first time talking about, you know, the Pirates should listen to offers or trade him, or I forget how exactly you phrased it. But, you know, after saying that, did you catch a lot of flack? Is that something, or did it just become a normal discussion point? Like, how did that go from your standpoint?
It was very interesting because I did not mean or intend to start 2 weeks of Paul Skeens trade discourse.
Thanks a lot for doing that, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, you're very welcome. Glad to provide content when I can. It was more than that to essentially put out there what successful small market teams do, right? The Tampa Bay Rays, in a similar situation, if they knew they could not sign Paul Skeens to a long-term contract, they would trade him. And they would trade him at the point where they could absolutely maximize the value. And they would not think twice about doing that. The Milwaukee Brewers have run themselves similarly. I mean, you remember when they traded Josh Hader, the backlash, and how they just missed the postseason spot that year. And yet the Brewers every year are in it, and they have figured out how to win on a small payroll. And the point that I was trying to make was more, if you are not going to get money from Bob Nutting to go out and be a real player in free agency and bring in some of the bats that you need, at very least you have to explore the idea of taking what is clearly your most valuable asset, Paul Skeens, and trying to turn him into as many good players as you can, because that is the likelier path to going out and winning. But it's so difficult because Paul Skeens is great and nobody wants him to go. It's a very reasonable thing for Pirates fans to sit there and say, why can't we have both? Like, why do we have to move Skeens in order to get guys who are going to be productive here? And it's a fair question to ask. Other teams have both. Other teams have figured that out. So why not the Pirates?
No doubt. No doubt. We would like around here to see the Pirates build around him. Don't have the argument be
Absolutely.
To get rid of him.
Absolutely.
Add to it. Add to it. Wanted to ask you a little bit in the lane of Nutting compared to other owners. You deal with these people and have conversations, you know, obviously that are far bigger than one team. What's the general reputation that Bob has around baseball, do you think?
I think he's seen as somebody who has a passionate fan base, who has arguably the most beautiful stadium in Major League Baseball, and completely wastes it. That Pirates fans, and I saw this firsthand during the last playoff run, Pirates fans want to go to that ballpark, want to cheer as loud as they possibly can, want to support this team, but quite often ownership doesn't give them reason to. And that's a hard thing to come to terms with as a fan, Jason. Like, if we have everything in place, if we built the stadium and if we have our passion, where's the reciprocation? What are you giving back to us? Why don't we have a team that's worthy of our stadium and of our fans? And it's a super reasonable question to ask. And it's one that Bob Nutting has no answer to at this point. And I think other owners see that. You know, there's a pocket of owners out there that wants the competition, that doesn't just want people who are going to cash revenue sharing checks and not reinvest it into their team, that wants there to be a vibrant baseball community in cities like Pittsburgh and like Milwaukee and like Kansas City. And, you know, the smaller market teams being successful would be good for the sport. And in a lot of cases, that just doesn't happen. And it's really unfortunate because it feeds into the perception, that, by the way, is fair, that the divide between the large market, high dollar teams in Major League Baseball and the small market, low revenue teams has gotten too big for the sport to feel fair. And while the Rays of the world and the Brewers of the world illustrate that there is some fairness in it, that you can compete like that, the difficulty in that competition is unquestioned.
No doubt. Jeff, this is a little bit of what you're saying, but I think it's maybe said a different way. A cap and a floor. We hear a lot about that. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Where do you stand on that? And also, are we going to see one in December 2026, in your opinion, or after the CBA expires in December 2026, I should say?
Well, I fear if that's the red line for Major League Baseball, that the 2027 season is in peril. And I'm not sure if the timing is necessarily right for Major League Baseball to go after a cap and a floor in this collective bargaining agreement, just because their media rights deals still have not been taken care of at this point. That's going to be a 2028 issue. And so I foresee it as probably being likelier the next time around, but I don't discount there are owners out there who want to push for it this time. Absolutely no question about that. And, you know, my personal feelings on it don't matter. But I will say this, any sport that tries to cap the potential earnings of the people who make it up, I don't like. I just look at it like the players are the game, right? The owners aren't the game. The laundry, it's somewhat the game. Like you root for teams, but deep down, like, you root for players. And if the players who are there right now are not there, if you were to replace all 1,200 guys on big league rosters with the next best 1,200, the product would be demonstrably worse, like considerably worse. And so because of that, I think that a fair split between ownership and players is a reasonable thing to go for. And unless there's some sort of a system that's put in place that, you know, ensures players are getting more and significantly more than they are right now, I just don't think that's going to be something that they're accepting. And I get why people argue for caps. We see it in all other sports, and it would seem to be successful in other sports. But the parity in Major League Baseball, if you're looking at playoff appearances, if you're looking at World Series appearances, the parity in Major League Baseball is there. It's just not quite as obvious as it is in some other sports.
I think the sensitivity to it, and I'll let you go after these 10 seconds, Jeff. I just think people here want to see Bob Nutting spend more. They want to see that, you know, that player salary. They want to see that grow. So, we would enjoy a cap and a floor, but I understand what you're saying as well.
Yeah, I just don't think a cap and a floor are a panacea, man. Like, I don't think they solve a lot of the issues that are in Major League Baseball right now. And I think suggesting that a cap would put the Dodgers and the Pirates on a level playing field is comedy. I don't know that there's anything that can put them on a level playing field or even close to a level playing field, because what the Dodgers would do is, if there were a cap in place, they would just take that money and spend it in other areas that would allow them to be a better baseball team than the Pittsburgh Pirates are.
Jeff Passan, thanks so much, man. It's a pleasure. Really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night.
Pleasure's mine, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Yep, take care. He's the best. Jeff Passan from ESPN, a whole bunch of stuff there in the Fan Evening Show. Thank you so much to Jeff. Normally, I will give somebody's Twitter. That felt fruitless. I don't know. You follow Passan. You have him alerted. The whole world does. You don't need me to tell you. But if you want to, at Jeff Passan, that's how you find him on X. Really, really appreciate it. A lot of great stuff there to go through and react to. I know Jeff and I feel differently about a cap and a floor. That's totally fine. I think different people, reasonable people, can see that two different ways. I still think a cap and a floor would be a good thing. And we can agree to disagree, at least Jeff and I. I also don't think it's going to happen. And I'll tell you why when we get back. I want to react to more of what Jeff said. I want you to react to what Jeff said as well. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. You just heard Jeff Passan from ESPN. I believe making his first ever appearance on this station. If that's not his first ever appearance, I am sorry. But a lot of great stuff there from Jeff. Really appreciate it. I know he's a busy man. The Wander Franco stuff breaking tonight, and he just finished up a hit before hopping on with us, and really, really appreciate his time. So it's the Fan Evening Show. We will react to just Jeff Passan when we get back on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.